Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Jason Lockenfour has had to listen to all of that nonsense for about 5 minutes now from CBS Sports. And Jason, when are you going to be in? You're going to sit in, right? When are you coming in?
Yeah, I'm coming in the 22nd, hon. I was just talking to your guy there, trying to figure out the details. We like to hit the golf balls at Clifton Park. I'd get you guys a discount, get you in there for about $5. If you got some time, we'll come down here. I know some people, Tone, so just keep that in mind, hon, all right?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Plausibly live and from an undisclosed third floor location in Chevy Chase, Maryland, as snow is about to fall as we start taping this morning. Nothing like what's going to happen on Tuesday, kids, in the Washington, D.C. area.
By the way, second funniest part of that interview, the first funniest being when he said, hold on, Tone, I just got to send out this tweet.
That went on for a while.
I got to go.
Yesterday's, he was on the phone for a while.
Yesterday's show was distinguished by that and distinguished by Luke Russert back in America. Uncontained fury.
That was Luke Russert, raw and uncut.
Fantastic.
Just his Greensboro attack just...
He also showed up at PTI and did a turn as Celebrity Stat Boy, which was fabulous.
He has a good life.
Love.
Didn't
love
wear
Luke.
A tie.
Did not wear a tie. Did not. So we are joined right now by Chris Elizan, Gary Braun, and Michael Kornheiser. Nigel will run the board. We'll do news later in the show. Pat 40. I know you're going to say, oh, it's Friday and he's going to go local. Well, yeah, I'm going local, Washington, D.C., because this is probably the biggest or second biggest story in the country today in sports, and it is the, in my characterization, the mistreatment. And it is hard to do. I mean, if you tell me that somebody concedes that they have a problem with alcohol and then continues to use it over the course of time, and you tell me that, that's indefensible to me. And yet I find myself on Scott McLuhan's side of the aisle on what happened to him with the Washington Redskins. There's a bunch of stuff in the lead to this show and then later in the old guy segment, and it all centers on the Redskins. The Redskins have fired Scott McLuhan with cause, according to them, and basically without comment. The person who has to take there's only two people in the organization that can speak with authority about this to the public, and that's Bruce Allen, who's the president of the team, and Dan Snyder, who owns the team. Dan Snyder doesn't speak. He just doesn't speak. Maybe once a year, he says hi to people and cuts a ribbon, at a Piggly Wiggly or something, but he doesn't.
Too rare, hon.
He does not speak.
So still Bruce, having dinner with Robert Griffin.
Yeah, so, right. so true. Bruce Allen speaks, and this is all Bruce Allen said. He wished McLuhan, quote, this is the guy he hired. And by the way, he hired with full knowledge beforehand of every aspect of Scott McLuhan's life.
And when you say speaks, he issued a statement.
In his name that wished McLuhan, quote, well in his future endeavors, the team will have no further comment on his departure. Okay, so McLuhan
that covers it. I'm satisfied. Yeah.
McLuhan is out, and we've been waiting for quite some time, really since Chris Cooley went on radio in Washington and said, is it possible, or it is possible, he said one of the two things, that Scott McLuhan was drinking again.
Almost a month ago.
And that would explain why he hadn't been seen in public and was not out front with general managerial duties.
And not only hadn't been seen, the what was being reported widely at the
not
time was
speak.
That Bruce Allen had muzzled him.
Right.
He would not be speaking. So, I think that was what prompted that conversation. Why would Bruce Allen do that? Cooley's speculation was, well, one of the possibilities is maybe he's been drinking again.
Chris Cooley, who was on the broadcast team to do the games, who has far greater access to the locker room and the environs of Redskin Park than the average person or anyone else in the media.
Broadcast his morning show from Redskins Park.
Right. Former player who is intimately involved with the Washington Redskins, goes on a radio station where I happily worked for a number of years, goes on a radio station that is funded by the owner of the Washington Redskins, that refers to itself as Washington Redskins Radio, that is so unbelievably intertwined with the Washington Redskins that they cannot be separated. Nor do the Redskins want to separate them. Chris Cooley, with all of that interconnective tissue on his resume, speculates the possible reason that Scott McLuhan isn't talking is because he may have a problem with alcohol. And at no point, and by the way, I'm not even going to say that, I'm not saying that's irresponsible. I'm not saying that's wrong. As a guy working at a newspaper, I don't know that I would have done it, but I'm not coming down on Cooley. But at no point did the Washington Redskins come out and say of their general manager, not Chewy's our general manager, and working hard. No, didn't say it.
It is worth noting, and we talked about this, I remember, when McLuhan got hired.
Admit
this
it.
Is someone who says,
fired
yes,
from two jobs.
I have had a problem with alcohol,
but
I still drink.
I'm fine.
Which is the, like, I mean, that is not something you hear someone who basically says,
this.
I'm an alcoholic.
I'm good.
I can still drink from time to time. We talked about it many times that this was
giant
warning sign.
Right. Big red flags all over the place. You're going to trust this. And I remember saying, and it's particularly dangerous for the following reasons. Not only is this the highest profile job in the city other than coach of the Redskins, you know, other than president of the United States and coach of the Redskins, right. It's next. The profile of it could not be higher. It is DEFCON 5 on a profile with an owner who likes to go out and drink with key staff. So you put yourself in a position when you take this job of having scrutiny beyond anything you have ever had before, and you involve yourself in the social life of an owner who likes to do this. And by the way, that's fine. If I worked for somebody who liked to go out to dinner, you know, and have a couple of glasses of wine, I'm great with that. But I'm not an alcoholic to my knowledge.
But
so
focus again on the point you made earlier. Bruce Allen knew
everything.
All of what
all
we
of
just
it.
It is not as though Scott McLuhan said, oh no, I don't drink anymore.
All
and then it came
right.
out. I mean, he knew going in.
So he's now a month later, after doing two things that you simply cannot do. You cannot do these things if you're the general manager. Miss the combine and the start of free agency. That's your job. It's like if I host this podcast and I don't do the podcast, what is my job? Now, I don't do it in the summer, but you'll know that. But what is my job? If I don't do it ever, then how am I hosting the podcast?
It's like being a player and saying, just for the record, I don't do playoffs.
Yeah, don't.
I'll be here all regular season. Yeah. If you guys make it to the post, I don't do that.
So they fire him, and then they trot out somebody. Man, woman, child, small dog, I don't know. They trot out somebody with authority.
Spicer.
Yeah.
Who
says. Team official.
Who says,
quotes,
a team
right?
official who says, you can't identify me, but I'm going to lay the wood to Scott McLuhan right
mean,
here.
I mean, that is an understatement.
I'm going to Chicago style Scott McLuhan. If you saw the movie Capone.
But I can, I can infer.
Sean Connery. Sean Connery takes a baseball bat. Is it Sean Connery?
No, it's
Shane,
it's De Niro.
Sean Stant? Are you thinking Sean Stant?
Yes, De Niro.
Yeah, it takes a baseball bat.
It's a shine box type situation.
Was it Shane Stant you're thinking of? Sean Stant? Jeff Galooly?
No.
Crowbarring someone in the leg?
Yeah, Sean.
Why?
Yeah.
Why,
yeah,
great, Scott?
It's the great teamwork speech that he gives team.
And here are the quotes before the jump on the front. Here are the quotes.
It's the third paragraph.
He's referring to the departed general manager, Scott McLuhan. He's had multiple, you know what, we're going to do the whole beginning on this, and then we're going to talk about, it is impossible that, let me just say this, from a newspaper standpoint, and I am joined by Chris Saliza, who's worked at newspapers for many, many years. It is impossible to believe that a story in which the quarterback of the Washington Redskins asks to be traded is not the lead story.
Yeah, I know.
This is
it's
not
stunning.
This is
it?
Not
possible. You know the Redskins are having a good day when that's the off lead.
It's not even on the
I
front.
Mean, not only that, they lost top three free agents,
right, we're gonna
signed a couple guys. It's like Snyder's, you can't even find that stuff.
Snyder sells team. Look for it on the jump.
Fast
May
forward.
As well be high school girls soccer.
When we're done with this, just go to old guy because we're going to talk about all of those things. Because now we're going to do this. They trot out somebody who says of Scott McLuhan, he's had multiple relapses due to alcohol. He showed up in the locker room drunk on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
This has been a disaster for 18 months. Let me go through that again. He's had multiple relapses due to alcohol. Not one, multiple. He showed up in the locker room drunk on multiple occasions. This has been a disaster for 18 months.
By the way, I just Googled the definition of disaster, and it said 17, 14, and 1, and first back-to-back winning seasons in a quarter century.
NFC East champs
right,
last year.
So that would be your disaster.
The next quote is, He didn't make the best of his third chance in the NFL.
I mean...
Okay, so there's other... By the way, in the rest of the reporting, a number of players are quoted as saying, we love Scott and we never saw him drunk. And one guy said he did. And one guy just... There are such things, and I will say this out of personal experience, very personal experience, with a dear departed member of my own family. There are such things as functional alcoholics. Doesn't mean they're not drunk, but they are functional. And it's very possible that Scott McLuhan... I don't know Scott McLuhan. Don't know him at all. I will tell you that other than the alcoholic references, the sort of personal life peccadillo references that I have read about have tickled me for a couple of years. Yeah. I have to concede that. But the alcoholic stuff I take very seriously. And I know, again, from personal experiences, that when people are functional alcoholics, they get on the road and they drive. This is really bad. It's a really bad thing. Their whole lives are in an alcoholic state, and yet they are functional, and they do their jobs, and they make money. This may be the case with Scott McLuhan. I don't know. Here's what I know from all my years at newspapers. This is the most savage cut down of a human being that I have ever seen. The Washington Redskins trot somebody out there who just obliterates Scott McLuhan so that when they don't want to pay him any more money because they want to fire him with cause, they say, well, look, 18 months, this was a disaster. If it was a disaster from 18 months, why did you wait 18 months? If he had multiple relapses with a history of problems with alcohol, why didn't you step in? Want to take a side?
Let me add a tweet from Mike Jones, our Redskins reporter, Washington Post. This is 1:21 p.m. Yesterday. Was told late in the season of jealousy up top and how they'd one day use McLuhan drinking as an excuse to can him. Exactly what happened. So what that suggests is two things can be true. He can be drinking.
Sure.
And it can have been going on, and they can use it as an excuse to fire
him. Here's what they can say. Oh, look what dropped in our lap to our benefit.
Right.
And we can fire this guy for cause and never pay him a dime.
And that may be the case.
And by the way, he's at fault too.
Sure. There's
if you were a newspaper guy, you don't want to back the wrong horse.
There's no winners here. Yeah. Everyone is a loser here. That statement is way too perfect for me. I mean, I'm sorry. It's so vicious.
It's brutal.
So and the team.
You didn't say a word about this guy for a month.
I'm not saying it lacked disharmony, but the team enjoyed relative success. Listen, one thing that is abundantly clear about this guy, because at San Francisco and Seattle, it was the exact same deal.
Teams.
He builds football teams, period. Now, he might blow himself up or tear things up along the way.
He might have made
knows?
One mistake with Josh Dotson as the first round pick.
Might have.
But he's got a lot of guys he drafted who are on the team and good players.
So, I'm a Redskins fan. I don't think the team's any better without him. I don't know that improves the team.
They're killing this guy.
Is the reason that this is what I wondered. Would they have not been better off to say, Scott is a great personnel guy. We just reached a point where we weren't working together well anymore.
Of course they would have been better.
But so then why
and here's your money.
Why do that? Is it so they don't have to pay him? Is that that's
so
the
petty.
Only,
even, what else?
It's not worth it. How much could he possibly be making?
$3 million, $4 million, which you drop on a wide receiver, a thousand times. It's just
the damage
the Washington
you do from
Redskins
a PR perspective.
Looks so like if you everybody in this room follows them, and a lot of people in this room like them. You look so terrible. It's the Los Angeles Lakers terrible. It's the New York Knicks terrible. It's the Cleveland Browns terrible.
Browns have been having a great week.
Well, yeah, but we'll get to that too. But
we're switching spots.
You look so bad in this.
You just scatter blood everywhere.
And Chris, you may have seen this. Michael, I'm sure you saw this. There was noise in the Twitterverse in the last couple of days that this is a straw that breaks the camel's back for some Redskins fans.
Yeah.
They're giving up.
Well, and we haven't talked about, as you said, Tone, we haven't talked about the fact that the second lead story is quarterback demands trade.
We're going to get to
that. Which could really break people's
backs. And the third lead story is this. Best two receivers leave.
Yeah. On 1,000-yard receivers.
Yeah. And then you ask yourself, connect the dots on that if you're the quarterback. And what we'll do later in the show is talk about Redskins' prospects for this coming season. Yeah. Not good. That would be the tease headline. That you see on TV. So we will get out of this now.
Are you sure you don't want to open it up to the phones?
I don't want to open up the phones. No. But I do want to say this. I do want to say this. My daily plug for Chad's about, you
still
know,
Chad's.
Go there. Still Chad. We are still Chad's. The corner of Jennifer and Wisconsin, right in Friendship Heights, right inside the district line. When I always say go and watch the tournaments on TV. Now I'm going to say that on Sunday, Selection Sunday, we're going to have a pop-up podcast. That's free for all of you people. And we're going to be doing it at Chad's around 6:30, 7, somewhere in there. And,
all right.
And come and buy food and drinks. And watch us. Yeah, and watch us. Now you can watch us. We're all going to be there. And by all, everybody in this room.
Now we just, we're just going to take a corner booth or something? Just take a corner booth?
Yeah, and we may or may not be joined by Wilbon, depending on Northwestern. Depending on what Northwestern does and how far they go.
Yes.
Wilbon yesterday screaming as he walked into PTI, we have no chance against Rutgers.
And
I go,
and
Rutgers.
They won.
They won by 100.
They won on a 31-0
run. 31-0. So, all right, we'll Pat 40 when we return, and we will get back to this. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Thanks to our new sponsor, Upside.com. It's the better way to buy travel. You can save a ton of money and get an Amazon gift card worth hundreds of dollars free. Save big on travel. Get a big gift card every trip. Upside.com.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
That first chord, I thought it was Hard Day's Night, but it's turned into like something else. Yeah. This is Jim Viner.
Is this Baracha Nono?
And yes, it is. And the incredible B3 band. Gary, you were able to pull that out. That was really good.
Thank you. Well, I know from that start.
This is Baracha Nono.
Ridiculous.
Pat 40 of Yahoo Sports joins us now. And before we even begin, Chris Saliza, a Georgetown grad. Chris, you want to ask?
Well, I don't want to hijack it, but it's the question on everyone's mind. Pat, give me a 0-100 percentage of Georgetown just nipping into the tournament this year.
On the bubble.
And by the tournament, I don't mean the Nevada 16.
Yeah.
I mean the NCAA tournament. Good? 100%? Or is that
Georgetown?
Let's see. What was Gilbert Arenas' number? Zero?
Zero.
Zero?
Agent Hibachi. Zero?
Yeah.
Hibachi. All
right. Well, I mean, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
So.
That's my opinion. Sure.
I work with all these people that went to Georgetown, and they want to say, are we still on the bubble? No. No, you're not on the
bubble.
Were
we ever?
So you're in New York City?
Yes.
Right? And you're covering both the Big East and the ACC, or are you concentrating on the ACC?
Yeah, pretty much hunkering down with the ACC in its natural habitat of Brooklyn.
New York City.
Very Tobacco Roadish.
Yeah.
Perfect fit here.
Like the Big Ten in D.C.
Jim Boeheim may love it, but not that many other people do.
So let me get to, thank you for bringing up Boeheim, because there are two different questions here with Boeheim. One is, should Syracuse make the tournament? And the other is, do you think Boeheim is wrong in his assessment of the fact that college basketball is a big business, and you are better off holding tournaments in big cities than in interesting outposts that are affiliated historically with college basketball but are not big cities? So let's take the easier one first, which is Syracuse going to make this tournament, Pat?
You know, my suspicion, Tony, is that they will. If I were on the committee, I would vote no, because to me, they have, as usual, gamed the system completely to their advantage and failed. You know, they're 2-11 away from the Carrier Dome this year.
Not good.
Not good. They won on a buzzer beater at Clemson, and they beat a North Carolina State team that's absolutely horrendous. And they lost every other game away from home. And this way Boeheim does it. He won't play outside of the Carrier Dome unless you make him. They had three neutral site games, all in New York, lost them all. 0-3 in those games, including the game against Miami here. This is where I feel for teams from the mid-major conferences that can't afford to do that. And why do they not want to play road games? Because they're hard, because you lose them, and because early on you want your team to, you know, coalesce and become who it's going to be by playing a bunch of home games. And other teams don't have that advantage from mid-major levels. So I'd rather see them in than teams that lose 9-10 games in their conference.
Let me take one other side position here and ask this. Do you think that they owe Boeheim a trip to this tournament with a field of 68 because they took away his 1,000 wins, and he ate that pretty well, and he didn't complain, and he just lived with it?
No.
Okay.
I don't. It's two different groups of people, first of all, the people that assess those penalties and the people that decide who's in the basketball tournament. You're talking about two different pools of people. Could there maybe be a Mark Emmert who weighs in? Maybe, but I doubt it. You want me to go ahead to your other question?
Yeah, the Greensboro thing. Just set it up so people understand what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously they had the tournament in D.C. last year, which is a huge success from everything I've gathered. And then they're in Brooklyn this year. But forever and ever and ever, the tournament basically has been in Greensboro with occasional trips elsewhere. And he's such a charmer. He really is. He just kind of launched into this, like, apropos of nothing. The tournament had nothing being played in Greensboro, and it should be played in major metropolitan markets. In my opinion, it should absolutely still have Greensboro at least in the rotation. It's fine going other places. I mean, it's okay to be here, even though it's a little bit weird. It's okay to be in D.C. It's okay to be in Atlanta. It's okay to be in Tampa St. Pete, which it was one time. But this idea that it should never be in Greensboro because it's not big enough is silly. And Roy Williams, of all people, of all country bumpkins, self-proclaimed country bumpkins, is right that, the media market is, that whole idea has changed completely, that basically wherever your phone is a media market. And so you don't have to be in New York City, I don't think, to get media attention. You don't have to be in Washington, D.C. to get media attention. Have it there every once in a while, okay. But Greensboro has a great arena, has a perfect geographic setting for having this tournament, and has a lot of tradition behind it. So I think it should still be there, certainly on a regular basis.
I'm going to stay with this whole line for a second, because not only is the ACC in Brooklyn, where the last time I looked they had no particular members, not only is the ACC in Brooklyn, where I guess the closest geographic team would be Syracuse? 200 miles
Syracuse
away.
Boston College. I'm not
Syracuse.
Sure which one's technically closer, but
okay.
Probably Syracuse.
Okay. The Big Ten is in Washington, D.C., where it has Maryland. I think Maryland, today is Friday. Maryland came into the league on Wednesday afternoon, and they're having it here for the same reason, for business purposes. Not only is that crazy, but far crazier is something that Wilbon told me yesterday, which I actually can't believe. Which is that next year, the Big Ten is going to New York, not to Brooklyn, but to Madison Square Garden. But because of the contract with the Big East, the Big Ten will do their tournament a week early, which, Pat, makes them the CAA, as far as I'm concerned. It's unbelievable to me that the Big Ten, a power conference like that, would go a week early just to get into the Garden and be shut out effectively by the Big East. Tell me this is not true. Tell me Wilbon's wrong on this.
Wilbon is wrong. It is true.
Unbelievable.
It's happening. It's
unbelievable.
The first thing I've ever heard of. It really is. And I can tell you this. Jim Delaney has had an unbelievable run of, is as powerful as any guy has ever been in a conference commissioner position. If they all flop next year, they should come after his head. If they go to the tournament and they're flat after sitting out for a week, they should absolutely come after his head, because it's the most ridiculous gambit I've ever heard of.
You're not the America East. You're the Big Ten. Every other year, you got the best team in the country. You cannot do this when you have Chicago and Indianapolis and Detroit. You have all of these cities that are in your natural area, and you're going to go to Madison Square Garden a week before, like you're doing a high school tournament, like you're the PSAL. How can they do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Wow.
The benefit should not be that great. I can't even really dream up what the benefit's going to be that would make that worthwhile, maybe it works out, but my strong feeling is that, no, it's going to work against them, in terms of natural rhythm of the season. And all of a sudden, you're going to lay out for a week and then be ready to play is actually it'll be a week plus probably 3, 4, 5 days, you know? So for most of these teams, it's going to be
terrible.
I mean, you're asking them a heck of a lot. And yeah, they've become so intoxicated with this expansion movement to the East Coast, you know? I mean, obviously, look, Maryland has been a fine basketball member. They haven't been a good football member. Rutgers has been an utter disaster in every single capacity. That doesn't mean it's going to stay that way, but that's the way they've been. So now you're going to, on top of that, it's like they're doubling down. Delaney's doubling down to show that he was right to bring them in.
Terrible.
I don't really understand it at all.
You're going to lay out longer than Bucknell. This is, you know, it's just stupid beyond words. All right. You were there for Louisville Duke. You know more about Louisville than anybody in the world. Louisville plus 12 in the second half. Louisville appears to be going in the wrong direction right now.
Yeah, they've been outstanding at home and okay away from home. And the problem, they've just been very, very inconsistent within games. I think every single game against really good teams, they have had a lead, probably even a significant sizable lead, like 7 or more points at some point in time, and they haven't held it a bunch of times. They just, you know, they've got a couple of really good players and then like 8 role players, and I just don't have that guy necessarily that you can throw it on his back and say, all right, you know, carry us. And I think that's been a problem. It's not by Pitino standards where they play unbelievable defense. This is just an okay defensive team. So they've got some issues. Could they still roll 4 straight wins and go to the Final Four? Yes. Sure. But could they lose in the first round or second round? Yes.
I think that's true of every team in the ACC, with the exception maybe of North Carolina. But they all could get to the Final Four. There's 6 of them, honestly, could get to the final if they start playing well. The big headline last night is Kansas losing to TCU. Jamie Dixon at his alma mater doing a really pretty good job. I'm assuming they lose the overall number one seed because of that, Pat?
I would think so. I think it's between North Carolina and Villanova, and probably North Carolina at this point. We'll see what happens with them going forward.
But they have to win. Yeah. They have to win, North Carolina.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
in your mind,
Kansas is still a number one, and Kansas got lucky. Baylor lost last night, so there's no challenge there. But who are the 4 right now in your mind? Because it's gonna shut out one conference at least. So, who are the 4?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty set. I think it's North Carolina, Villanova, Kansas, and Gonzaga. And the Pac-12 champion is the 2 seed out west, and almost interchangeable.
Right.
With Gonzaga.
Yeah, that's what I think. And the only way that changes is if North Carolina loses to Duke. Because if they get to the finals of their tournament, they are a number one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be tempted to make them number one no matter what happens against Duke. But, if you want to solidify it, yes, absolutely get to the final.
All right, I want to get your look from distance, because we do this show in Washington, D.C., and Saliza is from Georgetown, and my great friend Matt Kelleher is from Georgetown, and we talk about Georgetown a lot. But the Georgetown and St. John's ghost programs, you're old enough to know how great they were as college basketball powers, how great the Big East was when indeed it was the Dave Gavitt Big East. What happens here? What happens with Georgetown and St. John's in particular?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was a little bit nostalgic to see Mullen and the Georgetown staff dusting it up, you know, the other night. But then you think it's a pillow fight. It's a game that doesn't matter. It's 2 programs that are going nowhere at this point. And, you know, I just think that they've both been afflicted by lack of strong leadership. Both of them are a bit addicted to nostalgia. That's why you have Chris Mullen and John Thompson III still coaching there. You know, names that meant something in 1985 doesn't mean they're good coaches in 2017. The fact they went out and got Mullen with no coaching experience was an addicted to nostalgia move. You know, he gets St. John, so he'll bring it. I mean, that sort of thinking. Did Nick Saban get Alabama? No, but it didn't matter. You go get the best coach. I'm not quoting them exactly. And then the fact that they can't fire John Thompson III because John Thompson Jr. is who he is holding that program back. I mean, he did a fine job for a while, but they have been a complete bust in March, and now they're a bust year-round. the last 2 years. I mean, they've just been terrible. So both programs, I think, Chris Mullin was a bad hire, and John Thompson should be gone if you want both those teams to recover. But at this stage, I don't know whether the leadership at either school has the juice to make those things happen.
Thank you, Pat. You will join us next week, and you'll do your annual bracket, which we'll lose. But
I
that's
will
okay.
lose to the stripper, as always.
This is what happens.
I will be happy to submit my picks.
What happens. Thank you, Pat. Pat Forty, boys and
Thank
girls.
Thank you.
We will take a break. We will come back with news and Nigel. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. Everybody in this room has the Harry's razor. Everybody in this room uses and likes the Harry's razor. So we, you
very
know,
much so.
Yes. You do like it very much so. That was very nice. Michael, you like it very much so.
Very much so.
Everybody likes
Stop
that.
Trying to one-up us.
Yeah.
Quite lovely, actually.
I tried to find out
that.
And I didn't, what the trimmer blade was, and Chris had to
Yeah, but
it
you
to me.
Saw what trimmer. I was talking about
I did,
last night,
I did,
right?
So that's
yeah,
very
okay.
good. Harry's was started by two guys, Jeff and Andy, who were fed up with being overcharged for razors. So they decided to start their own razor company to give guys everywhere what they deserve, a great shave at a fair price. They bought a factory with 100 years of blade-making experience so that they could make their own high-quality razors, sell them online, ship them directly to you for about half the price of the leading brand. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. 5 German-engineered blades, a lubricating strip, flex hinge for a comfortable glide, a trimmer blade, as Chris explained, for those hard-to-reach places, and a weighted ergonomic handle. All this for $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. By the way, I want to sort of commend the Harry's people in this regard. This is very personal.
Jeff and Andy, that is.
Jeff and Andy. They change the copy every once in a while.
Keep it fresh.
Yeah. Most of the others don't change the copy, and after a while you go, hey, come on, change up a little bit. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their most popular trial set for free. Free. Comes with a razor handle of your choice, a 5-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. And free when you sign up. All they ask you to do is pay a small fee for shipping. To redeem your free trial offer, go to harrys.com, harrys.com/Tony K right now. That is harrys.com/Tony K.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sort of okay.
Yeah, a little ska band.
This is sent in by Ailey Goldbrenner. The song is called Upper Northwest. It's a local SKA ska.
Yeah, ska.
Ska, yeah, reggae, ska. Surf sound band written by David Ridgway, who grew up on Macomb Street near the Uptown Theater. So we're happy. That's right. Real local.
That is very
That's
local.
Real local.
That's the good side of Connecticut.
Yeah, that's well, you would say that now.
Cool.
Yes. I'm on the other side of Connecticut, kids. So, Michael, if people want to send in stuff, how do they do it?
They can send it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
And do we have gear, that seasonal gear that is
We have seasonal
targeted?
Gear. It's targeted towards basketball fans. We're avoiding key phrases that might
That's
put
right.
us in trouble, but
right.
yes.
For patent. Yeah.
Seasonal gear towards a tournament is available on our shop.tonykornheisershow.com
will you be,
site.
Will you be, what's the word? Will you be fashioning that gear at Sunday's pop-up episode? Will you be at Sunday's pop-up episode?
Michael will
our
be
bracket-busting episode.
I'm scheduled to be
Do you have
there.
Any of that gear? Maybe you could...
I don't have any in the city, so it'll be hard for me to get it in time.
When you say you're scheduled to be there, is this subject
to
change? You're waiting for a better offer?
Yeah. I don't know. It's Sunday. We'll see what happens.
Take a nap.
Yeah. Do you know how cold it's going to be around here on Sunday? It's going to be like 20 degrees all day.
Yes.
We're going
to
get
Tony,
6
to
8 inches
blossoms.
Of snow.
Well, I was going to get to that.
Tony, it was 74 degrees yesterday. They are forecasting single-digit wind chills tonight.
Yeah. Absurd.
There is a chance that there could be some snow and some significant snow. This is like flurries.
You're going
today.
Way
conversational.
Yes, I'm talking about Tuesday. Now, the Capital Weather Gang from Washington Post has broken it down like this. There is a 35% chance that it's a major storm, which would be
35% chance is
a
large.
Basically 100.
Right.
Yeah, it's a large amount.
That's 100 in Kevin's book.
That's right. 35% chance
3,500%
of a minor
chance.
Storm and a...
so that would be 50-50.
Yes, 30% chance
well, how do they,
that it drifts off to sea.
Wait, how do they define major and minor?
Yeah.
What's
six
the,
plus.
What's the line?
Not Odin.
It says the merger... Well, because it gets into technical terms that I really don't think you want me to read right now, do you?
Can you interpret those technical terms?
I mean, you're
not
a meteorologist.
Really. No, not really.
Just take liberties.
All right, never mind.
There's a 35% chance that we could get a lot of snow.
Okay.
But
that
saying,
was good.
Yeah, what they're saying is, I guess it could be 6 inches, but it could also be absolutely nothing. They're saying it's very difficult.
Well, that's true of any day of the year. That doesn't
50-50.
Really mean anything.
That's the 50-50
we
nature.
We either will
thing.
Live or a meteor will hit.
They say that, 50-50.
That if you look at the GFS and the Euro, it indicates about a 60 to 70% chance of at least an inch of snow and a 20 to 30% chance of at least 6 inches. Does that clarify for you?
6 inches of snow in a
March,
cold snap.
In the middle of March.
That's not melting the next day.
Right.
That's not melting the next day. Yeah. No.
Here's how I attack those percentages. And Tony, I know you do weird number stuff. When I hear that, when I try to figure out, like, is that a lot or a little, I think, take 35%, for instance. If you told me, if you leave the house today, there's a 35% chance you're going to die.
I would not leave the house.
Okay. Well, then, so that's a pretty serious chance,
I would not
You could
leave
die with this snow, then.
That's how I feel.
What have you got?
Yeah.
What do you have, Nigel?
I know this is a project that you've been eagerly behind since its inception. I'm talking about the Purple Line, hashtag SAG, hashtag failing.
Failing Purple Line, SAG.
Yes, now it appears that they're going to have to delay the beginning of construction about another 7 months, which will put them a year behind because there are certain nesting birds and owls
in trees. Because they want to cut down every tree in Maryland.
Yes.
Every single tree in Maryland they want to cut down to make room for a train that nobody will ride.
The Lorax.
Where do you come down on this?
I don't like the Purple Line.
Could these owls be related to the ones that were attacking joggers about a year ago?
They're the same sort of owls.
They are. Yes.
Are owls rare? I mean, can't we just displace them?
These owls are alcoholic owls, and it has been a disaster for these trees.
18 months.
Yes. Well, they said there's a federal law that protects the nests of migratory birds that will prevent the MTA from cutting into forest areas.
What doesn't the government have a law about? You know what I'm saying, people?
There's also a governor called Ben Hogan who protects the golf course for rich people.
This is a very good development
that
the owls are going to be allowed to nest, that the country is recognizing that this is open territory for all species.
Yes.
This is very, very good that you don't build a wall.
You do not build a wall.
We build bridges.
In Chevy Chase, Maryland, you let everyone live and breathe the same air. This is very good.
Any species, long been a defender of owls.
Any species owls. That can go
owl
180
nation.
With its head.
Yes.
Yeah. Owl Nation.
Yeah,
I wanted Lane Kiffin to be hired.
Hashtag Owl Nation.
Florida Atlantic for
go
that.
Owl Nation. Owl Nation. We're really excited for the upcoming
football
season.
So I'm happy about
this.
By the way, it costs...
Record lows. I'm looking at a map right now. It says record lows
I think they mean record lows. Like
record
you should keep track of it.
On Sunday.
Yeah. By the way, the cost of this delay will be about $156 million.
Wow. You know what the cost really is? The cost is zero. Because if they do the smart thing and the right thing and they don't build this stupid
then
purple
we don't spend
line,
any money.
Then you don't spend any money at all. Don't worry about the cost. Don't build the purple line.
Yes.
Make the roads better.
So you're saying we should build the purple
line? No, not.
Yeah, I'm sort of.
I can't.
No, I'm not.
I'm having trouble getting exactly where you come down.
Don't build
on this.
It.
What would the headline be when somebody transcribes this? Kornheiser completely supports Purple Line.
Don't build Purple Line.
Kornheiser flip-flops.
No flip-flops.
Flip-flopper.
Tiger Woods, sadly, will not be...
Sad.
Yes, hashtag sad.
Failing Tiger Woods.
Yes, will not be at the Arnold Palmer Invitation next week and still does not know when he will play again.
Michael, let's talk about two issues here, the Tiger issue and the Arnold Palmer, the now deceased Arnold Palmer, who was... more important to golf, or at least as important to golf, as anybody in the history of golf.
The Tiger announcement makes total sense. I think we all saw this coming. I think we still need to look towards the first week of April to see if Augusta is in play at all. The larger issues you have, the World Golf Championships have come up really in the last 10 years as, you know, the second tier to the majors. And you look at the proximity of the WGC match play to Arnold Palmer Bay Hill Invitational, and a lot of the top players are skipping out on this year's, which is a little bit sad. Actually sad, not just hashtag sad.
Right.
So you look at all these top players who, in my mind, are disrespecting the memory of Arnold Palmer, particularly with what he built for the current modern player, not just with money, but with the celebrity of golf. So I'm
going
to watch
the Golf Channel.
Right. I'm going to watch all of the Bay Hill in a couple of weeks and support the tournament. I hope that it does turn into a great tournament.
His grandson, Arnold Palmer's grandson, is out there.
Sam Saunders, he had a great quote about sort of the memory of those players who are going to be there in support of Arnold Palmer. And there's going to be, I think, a trio of hosts this year. So we'll see how that goes. And he's playing in a sponsor's exemption.
Okay.
Be great to see him play well.
Yes.
I know you wanted to talk about some college basketball. Villanova with what we could call a fairly convincing win of St. John's.
This is 41 points.
Yeah. Yes. Well, St. John's probably worn out from that, you know, slugfest against Georgetown.
Yeah, knockdown, drag out.
Yeah.
Barely survived that Georgetown game.
If you want to see the distance between, and this is an original, these, we're going to talk, name three original Big East members.
Please be gentle.
St. John's, Georgetown, and Villanova. If you want to talk about the distance right now between Villanova and the other two, St. John's beat Georgetown for the second time in a week and then lost by 41 points in New York City, which you would think would favor St. John's a little
it's
bit.
Functionally a home game.
Lost by 41.
41. Whew. Yes.
The good thing is we've talked about this, but just to revisit it, the two best players, including a first-team All-American on Villanova, are from the D.C. limits. So it's good that they're on Villanova in Philadelphia.
Was there
Villanofun. You know what I'm saying, Nigel?
And that's what they called it, right? When you were in college?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they called it.
Were there other games? UCLA?
UCLA beat USC. I think USC will still probably get in the tournament because it went all the way down to the wire. UCLA, the team that I picked on TV last week to win the entire tournament, and I'm undoubtedly going to be wrong about this. And Notre Dame beat Virginia. Virginia is struggling lately, and Notre Dame, and this is something I will say that I rarely say about Notre Dame. They actually have been underrated this year and underappreciated this year. They're pretty good.
The problem the Virginia problem is they just cannot score.
No.
They can keep you to usually the 50s, but they get like the 40s.
Yeah. Okay.
And in NBA, a couple of games last night of interest. The Cavaliers lose to the Pistons 106-101, and Russell Westbrook with a triple-double, and the Thunder beat the Spurs 102-92.
They win when he gets a triple-double.
Yeah,
he ought to be selfish enough to do that. He only took, I think, 24 shots, and he took 30.
All he did was score 58 the previous night.
San Antonio and Cleveland are the best two teams in the league right now because Kevin Durant's not in the league right now. They're the best two teams, and they both lost, so that's interesting.
In fact, Cleveland's lost three in a row. Sounds concerned for them?
I don't care. I mean, I honestly don't. But if they, you know, at some point, if this continues, the Wizards could actually win the East. The Wizards are good. This guy, Bogdanovich, has changed the team.
Yes.
He's changed the team. That's a great pickup by the Wizards.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, great. They're winning 122-112. I mean, there are not a lot of playoff games played up in there. So let's see what happens when games get shortened and defense.
That's
and
we have so little, Gary. Well, let us have this.
What else do you have?
I love Bowie buckets.
I wanted to update you on Richard Simmons. When we talked about this earlier in the week, and said, you know, people are like, is he being held hostage by his housekeeper? No one has seen him. What's going on with him? There's a podcast devoted simply to where is Richard Simmons?
This one, isn't it?
That's the pop-up show.
They're going to do it at Chad's.
We will make that announcement.
We're
at Chad's
all wearing Richard Simmons outfits at Chad's, interestingly enough.
Oh, my God.
Tony, I need to talk to you about that afterwards.
No. I have one. I can wear it. Remember, I did that for Halloween one year.
Should
I come dressed as Richard Simmons? It might be a little cold.
You did look a lot like him.
It is so easy to make fun of Richard Simmons. It lends itself to every single comedic trick in the book. In defense of Richard Simmons, I would just say this. He has really helped a lot of people.
Absolutely.
A lot more people than any of us have helped.
Speak for yourself.
Richard Simmons has helped. He looks foolish. He looks like a clown. He behaves in a way where you marginalize him completely. But he's helped millions of people have a better image of themselves, and they actually go out and they exercise, and that's good.
What do you think Milton Teagle Simmons, his given name's net worth is? I just looked this up. I was surprised.
Well, here's what I would say.
Okay.
That given his behavior lately,
I'm
going to go back and just assume that his behavior has always been rather erratic and we haven't known it. So what I would have said with all of his videos and all of that, I would have put his net worth at about $30 to $40 million. I'm going to go down and just say about $8 to $10
million. Okay, I would have... That's funny because I would have put him in like nine-figure territory and I would bring it down to like $30
million. $15
million. So I got closer.
So you're close.
I got closer on that.
I would have thought
he should
was
be
worth
more.
Way more money than that.
Yeah, one would think.
I too would
makes
have
thought.
Sweating to the oldies?
Yeah.
Well, apparently the police went to his house to check on things and they said...
Allegedly the housekeeper has him in a semi-hostage situation.
That's like Saw or something, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or what was the James Caan movie? Where
Misery.
Yes.
Well, ankle-breaking.
Hobbling. There you go.
It's a little bit of hobbling.
They found him perfectly fine and very happy and said he's doing what he wants to do. And if he wants to go outside, he will do that. But he just wants to be
inside. I want to eat soup, I'll do
that. Yeah, well, it's not a hostage situation.
You do you, Simmons.
Yeah, so
Good.
They said, I don't know what he's going to do right now, but what he's doing is what he wants to do, and it is his business. And his attorney said, he spent like his entire life, as you pointed out, Tony, you know, helping people out, and now he just wants to sort of spend time doing, you know.
Okay. Doing what?
You know.
Hanging at his house.
Taking care of himself.
You know what? That's.
Yes.
Himself. That's a.
Nigel didn't go out of his house for 2.5 years. Nobody said anything.
No one said
we all just assumed he was dead.
It's not a big deal.
No. And finally, I would like to thank out TK Little news correspondent Chuck Todd for sending this my way.
Name doesn't ring a bell.
Stephen Gutierrez is a defense attorney in Miami. And he
Florida.
He was defending his client who had been accused of setting his car on fire. For insurance purposes, right? Oh, okay. And Gutierrez was making closing arguments in the trial and arguing that the car could have spontaneously combusted.
Is it Samsung?
It's not a Samsung car, but we know.
Drummer just spontaneously combusted.
Dozens of people spontaneously combusted.
Small green globule on the drum
as
kit.
As he was giving his closing argument and making this stunning connection, spontaneously combusting cars, he was fiddling in his pocket, and all of a sudden, his pants caught on fire.
Samsung phone.
And he had to race out of the courtroom into the bathroom, into his pockets. It was not a Samsung phone. It was the electric cigarette.
E-cigarette
batteries had caught on fire. And as he said, you know, I'd heard about this. I didn't think it would happen to me, but there it did. And of course, now the court is investigating because they think he just set his own pants on fire.
Well, of course he did.
To make
well, it's a 95% chance he set his own pants on fire.
Mistrial or what? What did they do?
No, they convicted them, though. So.
Of course he set his own pants on fire.
This could happen anywhere. And oh my gosh, my pants are on fire.
I'll bet he wasn't wearing an expensive suit. I'll bet he deliberately
wore his.
It wasn't
an Indochino.
He wore his set myself on fire suit that he didn't care about.
When the Miami Herald tried to contact Mr. Gutierrez, repeated calls to his cell phone went unanswered.
Of course they did.
Yes.
All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we will do Old Guy Radio. We're going to get back in to the Washington Redskins. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find qualified and quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day. Surf City, in honor of the fact that Dean Torrance turned 77 years old today. The original group was not Jan and Dean, but Jan and Arnie. It was Jan Berry, who is no longer with us, and some guy named Arnie. And they did a song called Jenny Lee. And then Arnie left the group, and Dean Torrance joined Jan Berry. And they were great friends with the Beach Boys. And they redefined, going to the falsetto parts, redefined what the California sound was. And it became instantaneously in the 60s recognizable to everybody in the East and the Midwest that something was going on in California that seemed a lot more fun than what was going on in the East and the Midwest. I think that they are owed more than people know, Jan and Dean. And as I say, Dean Torrance, 77, Jan.
Dead Man's Curve.
Yeah, that got injured. Yep. Yeah. So the autobiographical song, I believe. All right, let's go to the larger issue here in terms of the league, which is the NFL had its first day of free agent signing and a lot of trades. And the big headline was that Brock Osweiler, and the sound you hear in the background is John Elway laughing. Because John Elway did not spend the money for Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler went to Houston, where the owner, I think, is Bob McNair, a lot of money. It didn't work out. His coach, Bill O'Brien, hated Brock Osweiler so much that even though they paid $1 billion for him, he started Tom Savage, who's nobody has heard of. Could be Fred Savage. Nobody Savage. Has heard of or the Noble Savage. It doesn't matter. And wanted to get rid of Osweiler. Osweiler was held in such little regard that when the Cleveland Browns took him, they wouldn't have done it if Houston didn't throw in a second-round
right.
pick. So not only do they get Osweiler, who they may cut. Who they may cut because what they can now do,
right.
I don't know what they can do, but they can get Jimmy Garoppolo. They can package
the
one.
The theory
do
was
they want.
Needed a second round pick in addition to, they have a million picks,
right.
obviously. They needed a second round pick. They needed to get that in order to get Garoppolo is
they
the
have,
speculation.
I think they have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds and 8 or 9 picks in the first 5 rounds of this year.
So Osweiler is done in Houston, which makes it now, it's just so evident that Tony Romo will either end up in Denver or in Houston.
And Houston is now saying, the Cowboys, after saying they were just going to release Romo.
Well, wait. I don't believe that. I believe that was reported, but I don't necessarily believe that was true. I don't think Jerry Jones is so stupid that he would just preclude.
Fair enough.
It was reported that they were going to release him.
It is now being reported, and that's an important distinction to make, so thank you for correcting me. It's being reported that the Texans have said they will not trade for Tony Romo. They will wait for him to be released, which I guess they believe will happen.
Then if Denver trades for him, then they can wait till the 12th of never. Because that's
well,
the way
I hope
work.
That he ends up in Denver because I want to see that Sunday night matchup, Cowboys in Denver, Romo, assuming he's upright at that point, being Denver. And
it
with that
be the
defense.
First quarter.
With that defense, I realize that's a tougher road to hoe playing in that division versus the Houston division. But Romo, last week, people forget because it's been so long
great.
Since he's played.
He
but
great.
Last you saw him, he was pretty darn good.
112 QB rating.
But what Jason LaConfora said yesterday, the insight as to why you would rather play in Houston. You do not want to play Kansas City and Oakland four
right.
times
no.
a year. You do not want to do it. You just don't.
Also, Houston in a dome, Denver freezing cold and snow.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played in Dallas.
Although, we say these teams are changing all the time. I mean, yesterday, that 4 to 5 o'clock hour yesterday was insane. I mean, I don't know how it was for you guys on
we
set.
We started very late.
The Jags pick up Calais Campbell and A.J. Boye yesterday. I mean, that defense got a lot better.
So let's now go to what I promised at the beginning of the show, which was a story that would have normally rocked any NFL city. Your quarterback says, I don't want to play here anymore, and you can't find it in the paper because of the Scott McLuhan stuff. This is a very serious thing. This is Kirk Cousins saying, I don't even want your money. I don't even want your money. I just want to get out of here. Now, you say to yourself, why might he want to get out of Washington, D.C.? Well, one reason might be that ownership and high-level management always preferred someone else to him. They always preferred Robert Griffin III to Kirk Cousins. And the proof of that is they never negotiated a contract with him that satisfied him even after he had a good year. I remember what I say, so I'm not going to be revisionist here. I said I would have franchised him, too. But by the end of last season, I would have said, my options are limited here. I either keep him with a contract or I don't. I don't franchise him again because it's not going to work because he's going to leave, especially when I find out that both offensive coordinators that he's had through the tenure of his time in Washington are now head coaches somewhere else. Yep. So they didn't step up. Bruce Allen, Daniel Snyder, Scott McLuhan, any combination therein, did not step up and sign this guy. And now it seems clear that he wants to go. Now, I may be surprised. They may give him $100 million. But it seems clear that he wants to go. Another reason he might want to go is this. His two best wide receivers have already left. They have called an Uber. They have left. Pierre Garçon, who worked hard on every play, left to go to the 49ers and play for an offensive coordinator he once played for. DeSean Jackson, who worked hard on 12 plays a year, went to Tampa Bay, where, by the way,
got touchdowns on 10 of those 12.
Where,
by the way,
he's going to have a great prospect, a quarterback to throw to, and on the opposite side, a great wide receiver, which means he's not going to be double teamed all the time. He can't be double teamed all the time.
And that's great news for Mike Evans, too, because you can't double team Mike Evans all the time.
Mike Evans, like 7'5", can catch
he's pretty
anything.
Good.
Can catch anything. So if you're Kirk Cousins, you say, so let me understand something. You never particularly liked me, and I just lost my two wide receivers.
Technically, I didn't lose them. You lost them.
You lost my wide receivers, right. And I know that you re-signed Jay Gruden, so help me out. Can I throw to him on third down? Because I don't think I can.
Yep.
So why would you want to stay? So he says he wants to leave, and there is reporting that the owner has said, well, we're not about to trade.
Don't get your heart set on it.
Well, let's understand how this works. If you don't trade him, here is what you're entitled to when he leaves after this coming season, a third-round draft pick. Can't you do better than that right now by trading him by a lot?
You would think intuitively you
could.
They just
picked up Osweiler.
You don't have a ton of leverage because these other teams know your situation with him, but you would think you could do better than a third. The closer you get to draft, presumably you get the most leverage you are going to get as the Redskins, and then after the draft, you're stuck.
Is there more of a disaster right now in the NFL?
No.
And Tony, let me
not even Jed York.
Let me point out. I know this sounds like it doesn't mean anything. Although I've been saying this to you for a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is since they tagged him, he still has not signed the franchise tag.
That's right.
Being reported this morning that he's going to that is imminent. But if he doesn't, he could say, "I'm not coming. Trade me. I'm not doing your offseason workouts. I'm not coming to practice." And then they're really over a barrel. So perhaps he'll be a good soldier, sign the tag, play under the tag for a mere $24 million this year.
A lot of money.
And then move on next year, presumably at that point, I think L.A. maybe is back in the picture. It's not just San Francisco.
If Jared Goff isn't any good,
right,
they're in the picture. So let's look at the Redskins for a second and their prospects. Let's look first within the division. The Dallas Cowboys are a much better team than the Washington Redskins.
Yes.
With Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott and their offensive line, they're a much better team. Nobody reasonably would dispute that.
No one reasonably would. A crazy person could say rookie Robert Griffin and Alfred Morris looked pretty good.
Yep.
You know, how'd that work out? But this
Robert
looks
Griffin
to be
got hurt and Dak Prescott didn't get hurt.
Right. Okay, and so, Zeke is Zeke.
Yeah, so let's just say they're probably better. The Giants picked up Brandon Marshall, who's a pro-quality receiver. They picked up the guy to replace Victor Cruz, and they have a quarterback who seems to be willing to play. Eli Manning seems to want to play for the Giants. And the Giants...
And they can get after the passer.
And the Giants beat
their defense was much better last year. Yeah. They made a number of free agent signings to make it better.
The Philadelphia Eagles, recognizing that they've got a really good quarterback prospect, just signed Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. Mm-hmm. They got better. I think we'd have to say they got better.
Right.
So the Washington Redskins can – what do you think? 4-12? What do they look like right
now? Well, who's the quarterback?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I think if Kurt's a quarterback, they're 7-9. I think if Colt McCoy's a quarterback, they're probably 4-12.
So then what
do you
about –
you disagree with that, Gary?
I don't disagree on a 2.5 to 3 game spread between these two guys. It's so hard to predict these wins before anyone's drafted and free agency's over. But
does it
as
look,
currently constituted,
that's all I'm asking.
They are the worst team in the division.
They lost Chris Baker, too.
Right.
Now, they picked up three people on defense. They picked up a defensive end, a defensive tackle, and a safety. And defense was their bad point last year. Although now it looks like it's just hard for me to sit here today and say they've gotten better.
Well,
and I
haven't.
Think all the teams in the division.
Well, I mean, they signed two defensive linemen, but they lost Chris Baker, who was better than either of the two they signed.
Right.
So that's not, I mean, you can't play 12, you know, just because you sign an extra guy. So they're worse on defense than they were yesterday, and they're worse on offense than they were yesterday.
That's right.
And there's no GM, and the draft's in a month and a half. So
someone in the organization is on background savaging the GM as a drunk.
Former
GM as a drunk.
So now, let's wonder who has jeopardy. Well, I think Jay Gruden has jeopardy.
Sure.
Even though they've extended
him. What do you
mean?
They just locked him up for 2 more years.
I think if he posts a 4-12, I think they just say, okay, it's been great. Have some money. Yeah. Here's some money.
This is what you wanted when you franchised Kirk and then franchised him again. This is what you need. You need a 4-12 season. Fire Jay and then diminish the value of Kirk so that you can lock him up. I mean, it's insane, but that's what you did when you franchise him. You put yourself in a position to hope that he didn't succeed so that you could afford to have him.
That's so crazy.
I mean, you understand
the master plan is working.
That's so crazy. I mean, honestly, that is just
it's
crazy.
Insane.
We need to get way worse.
So people yesterday, when we were talking about this in the newsroom at PTI, they said, so you're in a rebuild. And I said, a rebuild from what? What? They made the playoffs once.
No, it's a construction project.
What's the rebuild?
It's not a rebuild.
Exactly.
Ongoing construction project.
Yes.
It's
like I-95 in Connecticut.
Like the Big Dig.
Exactly. It's just an utter disaster.
Yep.
It is.
And you know who's going to end up being the quarterback here?
Jay Cutler.
That would be amazing.
Wow.
I think you have to trade Cousins.
Yeah, sure.
I sort of feel like
you're not going to get – I mean, he's not staying.
Hang on. You could – I would – as a Redskin fan, I would rather see him signed.
But I don't think that's happening.
Do you get that indication?
No, I don't think that's happening. So if you're not going to sign him, you have to trade him before the draft. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah, you've got to get someone.
Because what are you chasing?
And by the way, if you sign him to the number that he wants – you don't have enough money to sign anybody.
It makes it harder.
It's a Baltimore Ravens situation.
Well, the
cap is just going up a bunch.
There's no GM.
But you would, you know, we started talking about this earlier. You would rather be the Browns. I mean, the Browns came into this thing with $100 million of cap room.
Yep.
Now they got 83 or whatever because they just traded for Osweiler. But even if they cut them, they still got 80 million to play
with.
A million picks.
You have to ask yourself this. When they sit in a room together, when Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen and maybe Tony Wiley, who just is great at moving things off the point all the time. You know, and actually, Tony Wiley has no respect for the people he's supposed to deal with.
None.
The press corps. None.
Contempt.
Zero.
None.
When they sit in a room together, doesn't anybody say, what are we doing here?
Come on, man.
What are we doing here?
Just play the Arakpo vine over and over again.
I mean, what?
Come on, man.
What are we doing here?
Do they have a plan?
I don't know. They always say, Bruce
Allen
always says.
We do have a plan. We know what we're doing. That was an old Vinny cut.
What's the plan?
Yeah. Winning off the field.
What does that mean?
Yep. Well, not even winning off the field anymore. The blowing up of the GM is brutal.
I don't know where I would go, but I honestly, I'm like grappling with this as a lifelong fan. I don't know how long I can
This is like me in Georgetown, but this is the same thing. Where are you going to go? You're going to suddenly start rooting for,
I mean,
like,
I have a kid who's a Houston Texans fan who, like, talks trash. Like, Dad, how can you like the Redskins? Like, he doesn't get it.
Why is your kid a Houston Texans fan?
It's a long story. But I knew Charlie Casserly when he was with that team. And so my kid grew up in a room that had a lot of stuff in it because Charlie had given me a lot of Texan stuff. And he just liked the logo or whatever.
Well, so is he an NFL Network fan now? Because Charlie's on that all the time.
No.
Is he an Osweiler kid?
You can ask him. You can ask him when he comes to pick his brackets, which will beat you yet again.
Yes. I'm going for last again.
All right, let's get on.
No Ivy League tournament preview?
What? Please help.
You're the correspondent.
It's at the Palestra. We have Penn Princeton, the 4 seed Penn, going against the 1 Princeton.
Does Princeton still run a Princeton offense?
You would hope so. It's, you know,
it works so well for Georgetown.
What's the other game?
Harvard Yale at 4 p.m.
Ooh. The game.
Oh, so then Cornell and Brown and Dartmouth and Columbia are out.
Those kids are out. Yeah.
What about Brown?
Well, this is the semifinals. Yeah, this is the semifinals. They have the championship game, I think, noon on Sunday.
That's a pretty nice draw, though.
Yeah.
Penn Princeton.
Well, it's going to be too cold to play golf here.
Yeah.
Let's just watch it on TV.
Because it's going to be too cold to play golf there.
You could watch it at Chad's if we get ESPNU there.
We get 10 TVs. I assume we get everything. Don't we get everything? I don't know. I assume.
Well, maybe one TV can be dedicated to the Ivy League.
Did you just say we get 10 TVs?
We have 10 TVs. We've got 10 TVs.
But do you know that you subscribe to all the, like...
Yeah, I think you buy a license.
Why would we have the TVs if we didn't have all the sports?
I'm just asking the question.
I don't know.
It's great to get the pot roast at Chad's and just sit for hours and watch the Hallmark Channel at the bar. Love it.
So that was you in that corner.
One TV always on the Hallmark Channel.
So are we just taking like a corner booth or something? There's no studio there yet, right?
No studio yet. I think we'll go up in the atrium and we'll see what happens.
Do you know who I am?
Can I drink while we do the show?
Sure.
Awesome.
Sure. What do I care what you do? All right, we will take a break. Just don't expect me to pay for it.
No, I wouldn't.
Whoa. I'm not going to be able to attend.
You buy me breakfast every day. I buy the rest of the meals.
We'll take a break. Jingle an email when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Yo. He's mostly grouchy, head bald, old and craggy. Fried fragments on his jacket, bowling alley. He's flush, but here comes what we know will happen to blow cash. Cause he's not known as Abby. Now his estate's incinerated on our place to chow. A vacant house will soon a citation, wow. Even Nick Cage claims that boy's insane. His financial advisor breaks, now he's boiling eggs. The plan was a travesty, blown shot, swaggy pee. Doe dramatically disrobed like bad logic. Exposed as a Ronstadt underdog, just jacket peak. Tony's podcast is the only fallback, so he's toast like a slab of beef. Groans over gas, but he's whoa. DA can't believe he's such a dope and rabidly. Screams till he's acetate horse while Satch stacks pennies. At least he owns a real restaurant and not Applebee's. Lose your wealth in this restaurant. You won't eat your blown inheritance is gonna go. In first place till the last and like the caps you choke. You better call Michael, tell him life is raining. Tone.
Fantastic.
Lose your wealth.
Lose your wealth.
Brilliant.
Fantastic.
M&M's Lose Yourself, of course.
Yes. Charleston, South Carolina. Great. Totally brilliant.
Great job, Luke.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Pat Forty of Yahoo Sports for coming on with us. I also want to thank our sponsors today, Upside.com, Harry's Razors, and ZipRecruiter. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Apropos of everything we've been talking about today, Tom Humphreys in Potomac. My family's been season ticket holders for over 50 years. My father started going as an 18-year-old kid in 1964. My brother and I took over the mantle in the mid-80s. We've been going ever since. Now even taking my kids. I've attended Super Bowl parades, NFC Championship games, 7-7 headbutt the wall ties, getting trolled by Jeff Fisher for pregame coin toss shenanigans, and everything in between. I've seen it all. But this offseason and the slow bleed that culminated in yesterday's developments have been too much for me. Our season ticket bill is due, and we are considering the unthinkable, not renewing.
Yep.
We will remain fans of the team, but we can't justify spending thousands of dollars every year for such a poorly run organization. It's devastating to consider, as the Redskins have been an important part of my entire life, but we will be season ticket holders no more. 52 years.
Apparently, the Redskins were also the sales staff was calling people to renew the season tickets.
Still awaiting them.
Yesterday.
Tone, who wrote that?
This is Tom Humphreys from Potomac, Maryland.
I have an unnamed source saying that Tom Humphreys is a bad, bad person.
From Tom Dorr in Chicago, Illinois. Love hearing about Luke's trips. I will personally contribute $10,000 to his trip to Mars. Looking forward to hearing about it. From Tom Duke in Capitol Heights. Love will keep us together. 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 2468. What will surprise Wilbon? I know I can call Wilbon at 309. Love will keep us together. Brilliant.
Good one.
From Ryan Lang in Greensboro, North Carolina. While listening to your show as I was cutting my Greensboro, North Carolina lawn, I was struck by Luke Russell's disparaging comments of my hometown. Uh-huh. I had to chuckle as he qualified his credibility of speaking on the matter by stating as a BC guy. Boston College is, after all, a founding member of the Atlantic Coast. Oh, wait, sorry. They've been around 19 minutes. Perhaps you should consider the reasons Greensboro has hosted the tournament more times than any other city, 26. Centrally located within the footprint of the conference, it's got a huge, beautiful arena. Our international airport is conveniently located so that when Jim Boeheim bows out of another ACC tournament first round, he's never won a game in the event, they can hop right back on their flight to New York. If you think it's such an advantage for the North Carolina teams, here is a list of the last three winners when the tournament was played here. Miami, Virginia, Notre Dame, failing Luke Russert, sad. P.S. Tell Michael the weather is fine and we have great
The golf. Direct quote is, look, Greensboro is just not a world-class city, Luke Russert.
Love Luke. Howard Smith. I read about Dan Coco doing his podcast at Chad's. Yes.
You go, Dan Coco.
The article referred to Alan Bubis as businessman rather than socialite. Didn't mention anything about bowling alley fries and didn't open or close with La Cheeserie. And all I can say is, at failing Washington Post. Sad.
There you go.
Jordan Owen, Traverse City, Michigan. The next time Luke drops by, maybe you can do a fantasy Easter Island head draft. I thought that was pretty funny. From Adam Gribb, who's a professional engineer in the United States and Canada. I am a certified...
What does that mean? He's employed?
I am a certified Scrum Master.
Yeah, oh, Scrum Master.
Scrum Master are the facilitator for agile development teams. Scrum is a methodology that allows a team to self-organize and make changes quickly. I'm already gone.
I don't know what
that does that mean.
No, I get it, because it's probably derivative of a scrum in rugby.
In accordance with agile principles, we manage the process for how information is exchanged. Agile is an iterative, incremental method of managing the design and
build
activities of engineering, information, technology, and other businesses that aim to provide new product or service development in a highly flexible and interactive
manner. This guy makes Abby Lowe look like Miss South Carolina. Man, talking about the Iraq.
Man, this email is outstanding.
Wow.
That's
how
cool.
Great is that?
Very smart.
That.
Take it
hey,
back.
Can we explain Agile longer?
From John Neiswinger in Jackson, Mississippi, and he is a longtime emailer and someone who contributes
the jingles.
Songs.
Yes,
right. Yesterday's discussion regarding whether Rose and Jack could have survived has been tested mm-hmm. By the Mythbusters a few years ago. They determined that they both could have in fact survived, but not without some quick thinking. In order to make the door buoyant enough to support both of them, they would have had to remove Rose's life jacket and strap it under the door. This increase in buoyancy would have presumably been enough for them to both stay afloat out of the frigid water until help arrived about an hour later. Isn't that great?
Yeah,
it is great.
That
is
sad,
great.
Actually, that I think that he could have lived.
If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
See you Sunday.
Come on, man. What the hell are we even doing out here, man?